Good afternoon. Glad you could join us here this Friday on Storm Watch. This is Dale Allison, and we're on BPN Radio. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Again, we hope that our particular show will be not only informative, but hopefully thought-provoking and enough to give consideration to so that maybe some changes can be made. I'm talking today about the situation where the church no longer seems to be affecting the culture, but the culture seems to be affecting the church. Now, it has been said, as the church goes, so goes the nation. So if you think our nation's going to hell in a handbasket, well, we have no further to look than to the church. Because if that statement is true, as the church goes, so goes the nation. If we see the nation going down the toilet, then obviously the church is going down the toilet. There may be a number of reasons for that. I know that at least in the minds of many ministers, they do not have, this is their view, they do not have the ability to speak out with regard to matters involving the nation, in particular, political issues. Well, the truth is, that's just not right. If the church is not speaking out on political issues just because they have chosen not to. Now, I'm sure there will be some that will say, Dale, you're off base on this. We all know that the IRS has told the church that they can't speak on political issues. Well, then whoever told you that is wrong. From day one, before we were even a nation, our ministers stood up and they chose to speak out on issues involving not only the church, but all the parishioners. They spoke out vigorously. They were not shy. I'm going to pause here for what appears to be a commercial break, but it's not. I want to tell you about a book that I recently read that I think is well worth the investment to bring back a time in our history when the church was super active. Super active. This is a book by a gentleman by the name of Dan Fisher, who happens to be both a pastor and a member of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, at least was at the time of the writing of this book. The name of the book is Bringing Back the Black-Robed Regiment. How the 18th century church stood for liberty and why it must do so again. This is an outstanding book about the history of the men who were in the pulpit, many times stepping out of the pulpit, leading their own congregants in a fight for liberty in this country before we were a country. I will also tell you that Reverend Fisher puts on a great presentation in a theatrical mode that you would be glad to come to your church or where a group of churches might come together for this purpose. It was an outstanding performance. We had that in our town several months back. I got the book and have read it, and it's inspirational. We forget many times that God has called his church to be salt and light in the world, not to join with the world. That's not the not our job. Not our job to water down the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we might attract a certain group of people. It's amazing. Jesus' teachings that were effective 2,000 years ago, there's no reason why they're not effective today. You don't have to decide that you're going to talk about something else. This country is in a hurt. We have been going downhill for quite some time. When you have the mainstream media, when you have the entertainment field, excuse me, even certain aspects of the sports arenas, that are turning against our country. Disrespect shown for our officials, be they president, mayor, governor, police, fire departments, people against the flag. Can you imagine college campuses voting to not fly our flag here in our country? Because it might offend somebody? You gotta be kidding. People protesting against the national anthem. This is unacceptable in our country. And where is the church? What stand are they taking? Are they coming up and speaking for our country? The only country in the world, by the way, that God helped found besides Israel? I mean, this is the city at the top of the hill, the light to the world. And we're letting it go downhill every day. I mean, it started years ago when they took prayer out of school. Then what happened? The next thing you know, they approve abortion. We're killing millions of babies a year. Millions. And with relatively no end in sight, people think nothing of supporting abortion clinics, assisting women to abort babies. You never get them back. Those lives are gone. Oh, no, God gets them back. No, God has them, and he's loving them. But this is something that the church needs to be taking a stand. And they're not. They're not talking about issues of our day. These initial programs, LGBTQ, whatever. The mainstream media is cramming that down our throats. The entertainment industry. They're putting characters in shows on TV who are homosexual or transgender, transsexuals, all of that, and making it appear to the general public as if this is normal. We know it's not. We know what the Word of God says. We pray for those people. God loves them. But this is not normal conduct. But the entertainment media, together with the media, wants to cram that down our throat. Why? Because the church is not taking a stand. Well, Dale, they can't. That Johnson Amendment that came about in the 50s, that's what stopped it. Well, let's see exactly what the Johnson Amendment said. Here's the language of the Johnson Amendment. Nonprofit entities, including churches, cannot participate in or intervene in, including the publishing and distribution of statements, any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to, those that are in opposition to was added later, any candidate for public office. Wouldn't that have to do with us standing up for what's going on in our country today? That is just a convenient way to hide behind this Johnson Amendment to say, well, we can't take a political stand. No one's asking you to take a political stand. Not as far as a political party. We're not saying that you have to stand up and say everybody needs to go down and vote the straight Democrat ticket or the straight Republican ticket or anything of that sort. What we're asking you to do is stand up for America. Stand up for what is right. Stand up so that we stop losing ground. One of these days, they're going to come in and they're going to stop preachers from preaching anything that is offensive to anybody by calling it hate speech. You're already doing that in Canada. Hate speech. Because you speak what the Bible says. You know, there are people who are offended because they see a cross. They get upset. Can you believe that? They get upset. And they don't want a cross. They don't want it on the side of a highway. They don't want it in a public park. I mean, I live in a state where when you drive down the highway, you see some crosses. Are those crosses pushing a particular religion? No. They are in many cases identifying places along the highway where a loved one has been killed in an automobile wreck. And yet people are oh so upset because they feel like it's pushing a religion, the recognition of a loved one who has died. There are going to be people who are offended. That is what's called life. We can be offended by anything. What offends you? Well, I'm offended that my neighbor cusses in the backyard where I can hear it. Well, I wish he or she didn't do that. So what are you going to do? You going to go over and punch them out? You going to yell at them? People are going to be offended. We can't change that. Maybe we should be less offended. We should try not to offend our neighbors. But if you're If you're speaking the word of God, then hey, your neighbor just needs to grow up. Life's tough. But you don't try to intentionally. You know, Paul talked about people being upset by eating habits and such as that. Well, you gotta look around and maybe if you're in a position where there's a bunch of young Christians, maybe your particular view is, hey, it's okay to have a glass of wine with something, and you're the pastor of the church, and you see members of your congregation over there younger than you who are enjoying a meal at this restaurant, and you go, gee, I wonder what happens if I drink wine. I wonder if they're going to be upset. Well, if it's going to cause them to slip and slide in their testimony, their life actions, maybe you pass on the glass of wine that night. World's not going to come to an end if you do that. And that's true of us as lay people. If we're someplace where we see younger Christians who go to our church or attend our Bible study, and maybe we know that they don't drink and they are maybe against people that drink, is the world going to come to an end if you pass on a glass of wine that night? So that you don't offend them, or you get them to think that it's okay to drink, and maybe their body is not such that can tolerate alcohol. And next thing you know, you've driven them to become a drunkard. Dale, that's a little much. No, maybe it is a little much. I'm just saying there are things that you have to think about. When you're a Christian, it doesn't do you to go into a nudie bar. Even if you're passing out tracts. I think there's some things that we have to sit back and consider and say, you know, maybe there's certain places that the old saying is, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Well, maybe you should really pray about, is this something that God is encouraging you to do? Or is this something curiosity has got you? Remember, curiosity kills the cat. Okay. We know what the Johnson Amendment says. It doesn't really say what people are saying. Now, many of the churches or ministries around the country who sought for and got 501c3 standing from the Internal Revenue had to include a clause in their articles and bylaws that reads as follows. No substantial part of the activities of the corporation shall be the carrying on of propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence legislation, and the corporation shall not participate in or intervene in, including the publishing and distribution of statements, any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. Okay, what does this say for the church? No substantial part of the activity. Substantial part. Didn't say no part. It said no substantial part of the activities of that corporation shall be the carrying on of propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence legislation. Can I comment on something that my legislature sure is currently considering? Why, of course. You're going to do that, what, once in a service? And you've got 52 to 100 56 services a year? That's not a substantial part, my friend. So you're okay. You can stand up and tell your people what you think. You can encourage them to contact their legislators, be they state representatives, state senators, or even their congressmen and their U.S. senators. How do those people know how you feel? You sit back and do nothing. Today, it is so simple. Even someone like myself who's technologically challenged can send an email. And you can find out your senators, congressmen, state representatives, state senators. Those addresses are easy to find. And you send them an email. Now, years ago, it was difficult. Things were handled differently then. I don't know if many of you remember back in the early 80s, President Ronald Reagan had just been elected, and he needed to pass some critical tax legislation in order to get things turned around in the economy. He contacted many of the congressmen, and there was not a lot of interest in backing his tax legislation. So what did he do? He went on the air, gave a presidential address. That time we didn't have all the internet. It was not big yet. We didn't have too much of the satellite cable with 1,000 jillion channels. We had the usual 3 or 4 plus public broadcasting, a few independents, but he was able to reach most of the people who watched television. And he gave a speech. Part of his speech was he spoke right to us as taxpayers. And he said, here's why I need to do what I need to do. And therefore he asked each of us to contact our congressman and our senator. If we believed with him, if we believed him that his idea was correct, we needed to contact our senators, congressmen, and ask them to vote for President Reagan's policy, legislation. I particularly remember watching the television and a much younger Chuck Schumer, who was now the minority leader of the Senate. He was a congressman at that time from New York. And he was interviewed, and he said, essentially, hell would freeze over before he would ever vote for what President Reagan wanted. Now, the way that we had to get hold of our congressman and senator at that point in time, we either had to fax, write a letter, send a telegram, or make a phone call. Almost every one of those took some time and effort. Even a fax you had to write out, find a fax machine. Not everybody had access to a fax machine. So you had to go to somebody's office and see if you could, if they'd be willing to send a fax out for you. Or you had to sit down and you had to write a letter, put a stamp on it, put it in your mail receptacle. You had to go down to Western Union, pay the cost of a telegram to send it, or you had to get on the phone and call long distance because there wasn't a lot of 800 numbers at that time. So every one of those cost you either time, money, or effort, and many times all three. But before the week was out, Chuck Schumer was back on television saying that in response to his constituents and their overwhelming support for President Reagan's plan and the request that he cast his vote on their behalf, he would be following the wishes and desires of his constituents. Sure was amazing. Hell froze over pretty quick, huh? Whenever suddenly they realize they've got voters out there who might not vote for them, if they don't do what the voters want, they change their mind. That happened in the 80s. It can still happen today. It can still happen today. If people would rise up, it's much simpler now. Send an email. Many of them even have 800 numbers. You can text. Much easier and less costly than it was back then. But then to be free, to live in a country that respects God, it costs something. Remember what David said? He was looking for a place. And he talked to somebody about buying a piece of land. And the guy said, oh, no, hey, I wouldn't charge you anything. He said, well, I want to use this for God. And I'm not about to give God anything that costs me nothing. That should be our position. It costs us something to stand up for what's right. It costs us something to stand up for America. I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats, although I'm amazed at all the people who want to see America destroyed that speak out. I don't. I love this country. I hope it stays around forever. Is it perfect? No. No, it's not perfect. It's a heck of a lot better than any other country you can pick out in this world. But it's not perfect. We make mistakes. We've got people who get overzealous. We don't always treat everybody fair. And that's people. We're imperfect beings trying to function under the guidance and direction of our Lord. Sometimes we have really good days, and sometimes we don't. But there's no excuse for us doing nothing. If we don't stand up for our rights, if we don't stand up for the church, if we don't stand up for the for the morals of this country. We continue to let there be moral decay. Then all of a sudden, why are we trying to not do our job? We hear about the greatest generation. The men and women of who came to adulthood, and many didn't, many men who came in and volunteered for service, lied about their age, and they were much younger than they said they were, but they fought for this country. They fought for freedom, not only for this country, but for freedom around the world. Many of them died on lonely beaches, an aircraft that was shot down, and never got to see what they could have been. And yet those that were involved were called the greatest generation. Because when challenged, they stood up. We've been challenged for several years now. And we find the church doing very little. Very little. People seem to be more interested, and when I say people, I'm talking about pastors, seem to be more interested in tithes and offerings, fannies in the seats, bigger and better churches, than they are in what's going on around the country. We've let a religion that is called a religion of peace and yet is very violent come into this country. We've let our school systems deprive Christian young men and women from having a place to pray, and yet we give the other religion not only time off from class, but a space in which to pray. We are losing ground as Christians every day, and no one wants to talk about it, especially in the church. Where are the pastors going to the school boards and raising Cain? Because some schools won't even allow a prayer that has Jesus' name. Their sex ed classes are depriving parents of the opportunity to teach their children at what they think is the right time. And they're basically thumbing their nose at parents because no one leads them. Back in the 70s when Norman Lear had programs on, and a couple of his programs were getting a little off key. Some cursing was starting to slip in. Donald Wildman of the American Family Association, he rose up and he got people to send letters, not to the networks because they don't listen to anybody anyway, to the sponsors of those programs, and said, hey, if you're going to continue to sponsor trash like this, we're no longer going to buy your product. Networks will listen to advertisers because if there's no advertisement, there's no network. That's where they get their money. So all of a sudden, the tenor of those programs changed. An announcement was made that that particular flow of direction that the show was going to go, they were no longer going to be allowing that on their network. What a great job. But in a few years, when Disneyland and Disney World decided they were going to allow the gay pride parades, gay pride day, gay week, and whatever else they were going to allow. He tried the same tack. But no one wanted to tell little Susie and little Johnny that Mickey Mouse was doing things that was against the Bible. So they weren't going to go there. So they didn't protest against Disney. And now Disney's allowed the gay pride stuff to continue, and yet they cut back on the church activities. Because they've changed. That noise you hear is Walt Disney rolling over in his grave, wondering what happened to his company. What happened to Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Daisy, who were wholesome? Why are they allowing that? Not a four-letter word, just a five. M-O-N-E-Y. Not Mickey. M-I-C-K-E-Y. It's a six-letter word. No, M-O-N-E-Y. Disney loves money. And for whatever reason, they feel like those who are gay, who have no children, who have great jobs, who don't have to spend their money tithing and supporting young ones, they've got plenty of money to spend. They'll buy Disney products for their nieces and nephews and whoever else. Support their movies. Believe me, folks, if we took the initiative and no longer went to certain movies and they lost money, they'd start to look around. But the church has to lead. I'm going to take a quick break here. I'm over, actually, great time to remind everybody that, hey, you're listening to Stormwatch. This is Dale Allison, and we're talking today about the Johnson Amendment and the confusion that there is with regard to the church and why the church is using that to stay out of issues that they ought to be on top of. But you're listening to us on BPN Radio. And BPN Radio, 24/7 operation with prayer, informative programming, preaching. It is a blessing to many, many people. But it requires support. So you say, well, hey, I don't know where to support it. Well, let me suggest to you that you're already on the website. If you're listening to us, you can glance around the website and you'll find there's a donate button. And if you hit that button, you'll find out how to donate over the air, through the internet. And you'll find an address that you can send a check. Because one of these days, if the church doesn't rise up, there'll be an effort to shut BPN Radio down. The big boys, Facebook, Google, Twitter, Instagram, those folks are already trying to cut out conservative and religious voices so that people who tune on and look in there are only going to get one side of the story, not going to get both sides. And it's going to make it extremely difficult to get, I mean, look at the media today. Very difficult to find a straight story. president chooses to call it fake news. A good portion of it is. Everything's getting politicized. I mean, even sports. Sports leaders are coming out and saying, I'm so critical to this country that I have to speak my piece. Really? LeBron James is that important to our country? These football players, they're all important to our country? That we need to grab their comments and hang on to them like their gospel? You take everybody in this world, and there's no one. Not me, not you, not anybody who's a headliner who has anything to say of great value other than what is in the Bible. But many people think more highly of themselves than they ought. And they think that they are the end-all of everything. I speak and everybody listens. Remember years ago that ad on TV? Could be a large auditorium or something, and the guy leaned over and whispered and said, E.F. Hutton says, and a holy hush fell over that place as everybody strained their ear to listen to what E.F. Hutton had to say. E.F. Hutton may have been a smart man, or it just may have been a very clever advertising mode. But E.F. Hutton has nothing to say of greater value than Jesus Christ. That holds true for LeBron James, Donald Trump, Alec Baldwin, Whoopi Goldberg, all of these folks. Yes, I have to respect, as we all do, our president. We do have to listen to what he says as it affects our government. Now, if he's just blowing off steam, no, we don't have to pay attention to that. Alec Baldwin, Whoopi Goldberg, LeBron James, why would I pay attention to them? What have they ever said that's made any sense but has anything to do with my life? They don't know my life. Those people make gazillion bucks. What do they know about me? What do they know about the average person in this country? Well, they were poor once. That's been so long ago that they don't even remember what it was like. Last week, I went back to my old hometown after 33 years. I hadn't been there in 33 years. I went back because my mother wanted her ashes place there, and my brother and I went up to do that. And I went by our first house. I knew it was small when I grew up, but I didn't realize how small. We were in a railroad town, which meant we were on the wrong side of the tracks. But we grew up, and the Lord had mercy on us. But I came back and saw that house, and a lot of memories came back. I remembered how things were. And I appreciated how my mom and dad had sacrificed for myself and my brother. how we had grown up and taught right and wrong, how we were taken to church and had an opportunity to grow in the Lord to the degree that our church was moving forward in that regard. I was glad for the opportunities that I had in that small town. Small town boy, still living in a small town. But it's those values that we were brought up under and that were expounded to us that I want to keep in this country. We were taught respect for authority. We were taught to respect teachers. I was overall a pretty good kid, but I remember one time I did get in trouble and I got spanked at school. Well, unlike today, where the wild men and women of today run to the school and threaten lawsuits, and because little Johnny couldn't have been that bad, little Susie couldn't have been that bad, it's got to be the teacher's fault. Nope. My dad said, "Fine, son." And he whipped me again. Because they backed the school. That doesn't happen today. Where's our church talking about authority? Where are they teaching about authority? Why do we let insults go to our police officers, our people in authority at the school? Yes, that comes from home. There is a responsibility on the moms and dads of those, what do they call them? Helicopter moms or helicopter dads that just hover over these kids everywhere they go. That's not, part of that is because the church is not teaching them the right things. They're not teaching them their responsibilities as parents. Some of these people haven't got a clue. They've never been taught in their church about responsibility, about authority and the respect for authority. That should be taught. Believe it or not, pastors, there are scriptures that have to do with that in the Bible. I pray you look for them. Because the time for our country to stand up is slowly slipping away. We have an opportunity now to stand up, do what's right. And don't let this stupid clause, this Johnson Amendment, have anything to do with it. I truly believe if properly challenged, that's unconstitutional. Churches operated and gave their opinion to their congregation on who was a qualified candidate. We can still do that. Well, no, they said you can't do that. It says you cannot participate in or intervene in any political campaign on behalf or against a candidate. So that's what it says. Don't you remember the Bible, Book of Acts? Peter and John? They were called in and were told by the authorities, keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear any more about this Jesus Christ, about him raising from the dead. We're telling you no. And what did they say? Hey. If the choice is obeying God or obeying man, there is no choice. We're going to obey God. If God tells you, you need to stand up. You've got a good Christian man here that needs to be elected. You need to rally your people behind him. What are you going to do? Oh, sorry. Sorry, God. Johnson Amendment stopped me from that. Boy, I was all set to do it, but somebody said, well, Pastor, you got to think about that Johnson Amendment. Got a clue for you, pal. Don't think it's going to cut mustard with God. I don't think if he tells you to do something that you say, my board won't let me, or the Johnson Amendment won't let me, I don't believe that's going to be an acceptable excuse to him. I think he's going to hold you disobedient because he told you to do something. You didn't do it. You've only got two choices. You're going to be obedient to that or disobedient. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. No excuse for disobedience. Can't say you're ignorant. Because if you've listened now, you're no longer ignorant. You know what you can and cannot do. Ignorance is never an excuse for disobeying God. You've got an opportunity to stand up and begin to help change this, bring this nation back to where it should be. A God-fearing nation. Not one bowing down to the East. Not one, but one who praises and worships God and his son Jesus. No, you can't sit back and say, I didn't do it. Because they wouldn't let me. Peter and John took care of that. We've got to obey God and not man. And this is your opportunity. You're not going to be able to do it any sooner than now. We've got to draw a line in the sand and say enough's enough. We're tired of this group of people coming around and trying to intimidate us. You know, there's a group out of Wisconsin. I think it's called the Freedom From Religion. And what do? They come around and they try to find something that they believe is supporting religion, and then they threaten to sue cities, municipalities, school districts. They want to stop prayer at football games. They come in and they usually have that wonderful guy, John Doe. John Doe comes in and he files a suit, John Doe versus the city of X. Well, they tried that in a little town in Texas. And the judge came in and said, I want to see John Doe. I'm not going to let you file something on John Doe. Have John Doe walk in here. I want to see him. I want to talk to him. I want him to understand why he's filed this suit. Not you guys. Not you guys from Wisconsin coming down here in Texas. Well, either A, John Doe didn't want to be known in that community that he had done it, or there never was a John Doe. Anyway, the case was dismissed. They went on someplace else. Here in the South in particular, we're used to praying at our football games. And even if the school will not allow that to be done, people start to pray in the stands. And if nothing else, they say the Lord's Prayer. So prayer gets done, not school-sponsored prayer, in spite of school. Well, I can see very quickly I am running almost on overtime. Folks, I appreciate you being with me for today's program. I hope you'll be back next week with us as we move forward in alerting us as to the storms that are coming. I've tried to present some of the things that are coming that are a storm, but a way we can stop the storm, a way we can have it diverted, is if we stand up and stand up for our rights, the rights of everyone else here in America. So this is Dale Allison for Storm Watch. Thank you for tuning in to BPN Radio. Remember, there's a donate button on that website. Hit it and help us to keep this station on the air. Father, we thank you for those who have tuned in. We ask that you make our conversation alive and let them chase down a copy of this, bringing back the Black Robed Regiment by Pastor Dan Fisher. And through that, become excited about the role of the church and help us bring that back to today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Bye.